doesn't he? Amen. I want to talk to us today about possessing the land. I prayed about what direction to go and what God wanted to do and say, and I felt like the Lord gave me a word, and so I'm going to minister. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Numbers, and we'll go to Numbers 33, and we'll begin there, and then we'll kind of skip around with some scriptures today. But we're talking about possessing the land. We're talking about taking territory, using the gifts and the callings that God has bestowed on the church to take and possess territory. Miracles are on the way. See, I want to deal with this issue of the territory. I spoke a word in Canada, and Stephen grabbed it, which is Stephen is a Bill's protege, and Stephen grabbed that word about taking the territory, and God told him to go to every territory in the Arctic, up in the, what's it called, Bill, up the territory where Stephen said to go to? Nunavut. Go to every territory in Nunavut. And so he has taken that word and traveled all over. And I was like, God, I thank you that you spoke that word, and he received it. But I really believe that God's awakened something in my spirit on this for us to deal with the territory. We are called to take territories. We are called to possess the land. When you come to faith in Christ and you give your life to Jesus, you invite the Holy Spirit to take over the territory. You're not just giving him your heart on Sunday. You're giving him your life. And you're saying, here's my life, and I just give you my life. In Numbers 33 and verse 51, God speaks to Moses. And God tells Moses, Numbers 33, 51, and I'll read out of a New King James, so whatever translation you have, don't be afraid to mark in your Bible or highlight in your Bible. It's very important that you put denotations on there about what God is saying. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed over the Jordan into the land of Canaan. Now he's talking about the promise. He's talking about the promised land. He's talking about the place of blessing. He said, listen, I'm bringing you into the land of the blessing. He said, when you cross over and you get into that place, when you begin to get into the blessing, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Destroy all their engraved stones. Destroy their molded images. Demolish their high places. You shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it. For I have given you the land to possess. This was what God spoke to Moses. Get the people out of bondage. Bring them into the promised land. And Moses began the journey, but he didn't finish it. Moses began the journey, and Moses died. And in Joshua chapter 1, go to Joshua now, Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, and saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, and you and all this people to the land which I'm giving them, the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given it to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river and the river of the Euphrates, in all the land of the Hittites and the great sea going down towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. He's giving a mandate to the body of Christ. He's giving a mandate to his people. And he's saying to them, I want you to take the territory. I want you to drive out the inhabitants of the land. We need to possess the land. God wants us to possess the territory. We're not just taking territories, but we're supposed to displace the enemy. This isn't talking about us buying land and buying properties. This is talking about every place the sole of your foot goes, you come in and drive the enemy out. The problem is when there is a battle for territory, there becomes a hostility in the air. There's a hostility in the air. God has given his people an assignment. He said, when you enter the land, drive out the inhabitants. In other words, what he's saying is when you come into faith, you're not to live with the inhabitants that were there before faith came. You're not to live with the spirits that were tormenting you in the past. When you come to faith in Christ, you're to drive the enemy out. It costs you nothing to get salvation. You don't have any hoops to jump through. You don't have anything you have to do. He says, open your life to God. And God says, I will forgive you of every sin and I will come into your life. But at that moment, there has to be a transformation. Old things pass away and all things become new. You drive out the enemy. You don't allow the enemy to hang around and torment you. Now, listen, when you're new in faith, it's one thing. When you come to faith in God, there may be old language habits that were in you. And all of a sudden, you're now in faith in God, and now all of a sudden, something happens, and you hit your finger, and out of your mouth comes an old language habit. That don't mean you're evil. That don't mean you're a bad person. Huh? Listen, I'm not trying to tell everybody that you just got to be all this perfect place and everything's going to just be great now that you've come to God. No, sometimes there's some lingering stuff in your life that's just been hanging around for a while. But here's the problem. What we try to do is cohabitate with that stuff. God's not into cohabitation. Huh? That's the world's way. Try it out. See if you like it. That's not what we do in the kingdom of God. I didn't give my life to God to try it out to see if it was going to work. I didn't come into God to see if everything was going to get better because serving the devil was bad. Now serving God, let's see if this is good. And if this ain't good, I'll just hang on to that. That's not the way this works. When you come into the kingdom of God, you lay your life down. God says, now I've forgiven you. Now you get up. You square up and start driving the enemy out of your life. Stop allowing the enemy to maintain the same territory that God wants to maintain. There's no room for the two in the world. You got to drive him out. Demolish the high places. Move the mountains. Mountains speak of permanency. I believe with all my heart, there is coming a generation, and I believe they are alive and on the earth even now. There is coming a generation that will move mountains, that will speak to high places, that will drive out things that have stood in the path of the believers for so many years, and it seems impossible that something is going to change. But I believe this generation that is on the earth right now is the smartest generation that has ever been alive on the earth. They don't got no common sense. They may not have no common sense, but they're the smartest generation ever. I'm telling you, my 19-year-old daughter, I didn't think she could boil water without burning it. But she goes online. She made an apple pie the other day. Oh, my goodness. It's the best apple pie I ever tasted in my life. Better than yours, Papa. Hey, she's 19 years old. She Googled it. This generation, I got a five-year-old, my little granddaughter is 5 years old. And if I can't figure out something on my phone, I can hand it to her. She's four. I can hand her her phone and say, Tegan, how do I find this? And she, it's crazy how intelligent these little kids are. You think I'm telling you something? Go ask a 12-year-old how to fix your computer. They'll go on in a few minutes and figure out how to get on something. This is the most brilliant generation ever, and I'm telling you, the enemy is fighting for them, and I'm here to declare no to the devil. I'm here to say yes to God, yes to God's plans for their lives. Yes, they will do great and mighty exploits in the name of their Lord. They will move mountains. Things that have stood in the path of the church for years, this young generation is going to rise up and say no to the devil. I believe it. I believe that we will see in our day children that are going to be raised up that are going to cure cancer. I believe it. I believe we're going to see these young people get something burning in their spirit, and they're going to say to the pornography industry, enough is enough. No longer can our children go online anywhere they want to in the world and view pornography. They're going to have to register and pay for it or something. It's ridiculous that any little 5 or 6 year old kid can pull up their phone and in just a few minutes watch porn. It's from the devil. It's a mountain. And we say, well, it's always been there. I don't care how long something has been there. Just because it's been here a long time doesn't mean it gets to stay. Come on. I'm telling you, I believe we're going to find a cure for dementia. I'm getting older, man. Somebody's going to have to find a cure for Alzheimer's. I'm tired of all that wisdom being locked into a body that can't even know its name. I'm telling you right now, we're going to find a cure to it, and that mountain is going to fall. Marion, you're going to live to 100, so you better just get used to it. You ain't going nowhere for another 20 years. I got to keep you around with a sound mind. She's so full of wisdom, so full of knowledge, and the enemy would love to have her go into dementia and go into Alzheimer's, and I'm telling the devil, no. You're a mighty woman of God. You have stood in faith over this city, and you have declared the righteousness of God over this city, and you will see a revival that will sweep through Naples and Collier County. In Jesus' name. Amen. These kids are limitless. Walls are coming down. Chains are coming off. It's a year of breakthrough. It's a year of miracles. Miracles are on the way. I believe this generation that's being raised up is going to end world hunger. We got enough food. There's enough wasteful food on cruise ships to feed the whole world. I'm telling you, millions and millions of pounds of food are thrown away every day. And this generation that's coming up, they're going to see that and say, no more starving babies. No more starving babies in Africa. No more starving babies around the world. We can end global hunger. Amen. Miracles are on the way. Amen. I believe they're going to end government-funded abortions. We may never stop abortions as a whole, but I'll tell you what we can do. We can stop letting them use our tax dollars to pay for it. Amen. Miracles are on the way. That's just a few of the mountains that need to be moved and that are going to be moved. But God gives assignments to local churches. God gives assignments to people. Uncle Rick got an assignment for Haiti 25 years ago. He got an assignment to go to Haiti and build an orphanage. And he's given his life, his whole adult life has been given to raising up children in Haiti, that if he could change a child, he could change a nation. I'm just telling you, God calls people to country. Bill has given his life to see Canada saved from sea to sea and preaches revivals all over Canada, lays hands on people all over Canada. Why? Because God has given him a territory and said, you believe for this territory to be changed. You believe for Haiti to be changed. And I want you to know something. God's put you into this church, and God has brought you into here to get a burn in your spirit to say, I believe for a transformation. We're not just placed into a city to be politically correct or socially accepted. I'm serving notice on the devil, Bill. This town's not big enough for me and the devil. Come on. One of us has got to get out of Dodge, and he already tried to kill me, so I ain't going nowhere. Come on. We have to deal with the spirits that rule over territories. We have to possess the land and drive the enemy out. You have to drive him out. You have to force him out. He's not just leaving because you're a nice guy now. You got to drive him out. Sitting here in church still addicted to cigarettes. Are you serious? Addicted to alcohol. There's no addiction too strong for God, but you're making the excuse, well, I've got this, it's an old habit, you know, and it's still in there. You can play that card for a little while, but there comes a point in a man or a woman's life where they got to stand up and say, no, I am a child of God. No fear is going to rule me. No pain is going to dominate me. I shall live in the blessing of God. Man. I don't know if they're just not taught it or if they just don't want to do it. But light and dark cannot occupy the same space. It cannot happen. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light. Read John 3:16. Go to John 3:16 and let's read it together. Let's read 16 through 20. Most of you know John 3:16. Most of you can quote it. And if you can't, you need to learn it. You need to keep saying it over and over again until you have it in your spirit. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Every believer ought to know that scripture. I'm not putting condemnation on you. I'm just trying to motivate you to put the scripture in your heart. You see it in every football game, John 3:16. You need to know it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Let's continue. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, and he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds be exposed. He's talking about a transformation that has to happen, that you've got to come out of cohabitation and move into habitation. You've got to inhabit the praises of the Lord. God defined light as good and darkness as bad. It's from the beginning of time. He established it. You can't serve two masters. We exist as a church to host the presence of the Holy Spirit. I don't care what your job is. I don't care where you work. I don't care what you do on this planet. If you're a stay-at-home mom, if you're a high school kid, if you're in elementary school, I don't care. You exist to host the presence of the Holy Spirit. And you will never host the presence of the Holy Spirit if you don't clean the temple. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound. You read this text and what he's talking about is driving out the enemy. He's not talking about let it just linger around because it's an old habit or an old lifestyle. It's like that you have to die to your flesh and come alive in your spirit. We're here to take territory. In Luke 4:16, he came to Nazareth. This is Jesus, where he had been brought up, as was his custom. And he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read, and when he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. He's talking about this new lifestyle, taking territory. Part of the problem when we start talking about territories is people get used to the status quo. Well, it's always been this way. I've always had an issue. If I get mad, I cuss. I've always had an issue. I'll just say what I feel. Well, you need to change your heart. The battle's not with flesh and blood. It's in the air. It's principalities. Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of wickedness in high places. We got to tear down the high places. We have to go into deep prayer and say, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm going to drive that enemy out. There's a resistance in the air to revival. I'm just telling you, there's a resistance in the air to revival. I feel the resistance to the movement of the Holy Spirit. Last week, my wife got this travail that come on her. I had never seen Bobby do this before. She grabbed the microphone, and she was just shaking, and she was praying in tongues and crying, and the Holy Spirit came upon her, and she was travailing. I'm telling you, there's people in here that thought about getting up and going out. Some may have gotten up because they were just like, what is that? What is that? That's weird. What is that? It's a resistance. It's a resistance to the move of God. There's hostility in the air. Listen, write this down. When there is a no in the atmosphere, you have to have a yes in your spirit. Just write it down. When there is a no in the atmosphere, you have to have a yes in your spirit. When the principalities and the powers over this church, over this area, in our little neighborhood here, when the principalities and the powers are saying no, you got to get a yes in your spirit. When there's a no over North Naples, when there's a no over Collier County, when there's a no over Bonita, when there's a no over Estero, when there's a no over Marco Island, there has to be a body of Christ. There has to be a group of believers. God has to have a remnant that'll put a yes in their spirit and say no to the atmosphere and say, no, you're not holding back the miracles. You're not holding back the signs and wonders. You're not holding back the territory. We will see a revival that will sweep the land. Got to get a yes in your spirit. God has to put a yes in our spirits. You got to know every day that God's going to bless you. You got to know every day, I'm not getting cancer. I'm not keeping cancer. You got to know in your mind, I'm not losing my mind. I'm not getting Alzheimer's. I'm not getting dementia. I'm not getting weaker. I'm getting stronger. Let the weak say, I am strong. Devil is a liar. But shout, yes!
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 Come on, shout, yes!
Yes!
God's promises are yes and amen. In Acts 2:38, then Peter said to them, repent, everyone, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and to your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord will call. And with many other words, they testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Be saved from this perverse generation. Be saved from this perverse generation. Don't cohabitate with it. Don't allow it to dominate your mind and your thinking. Drive the enemy out. Verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day 3,000 were added to the kingdom. 3,000. I'm happy when we get 4 or 5 saved. I'm honest, and I don't take it lightly. I believe God every week. This first service, there was 7 or 8 that came up for salvation. I'm believing in this room that you're not here by accident, that God's got you here to bring you alive in your spirit and to possess the territory with the love of God. I'm happy when 7 or 8 come, but I'm telling you, we're thinking too small. We got little mentalities. There's a spirit over the air that says you can't do it. You'll never become anything else. This is what you're always going to be. I'm here to say no. I'm here to say there's a yes in my spirit, and I speak to the no in the atmosphere and say, you release the souls. Salvation come to the house of the Lord. Thinking too small. God's yes is bigger than the devil's no. The no in the atmosphere can't do anything with a person that has a yes in their spirit. Acts 2:42, they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And great fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Miracles are coming, church. Come on, we've seen pockets of it. We've seen moments of it. We've seen healing services, and we've seen people get healed of things here and there. But I believe there's a wind of God. I believe there's a breath of God in the last days that God's going to pour his spirit out on all flesh, and miracles are coming. Our God is a God of miracles. He's a God of supernatural. Amen. Don't mean that. Thank you, Dan. I love you more than pizza. There is no power that the devil possesses that can stop a move of God. There is no power that the devil possesses that can stop a move of God. When I look at the book of Acts and I begin to look at the New Testament church, I don't find a passive church. I find an aggressive church, a bold church. We live in the United States of America, and everyone knows the United States is one that is a first responder. When a tragedy or disaster hits around the world, we are one of the nations that will immediately respond with support, with help, with aid. When in 2010, when the earthquake hit Haiti and 300,000 people died in less than an hour, Uncle Rick had boots on the ground. He was there that day in the earthquake. He was right there when the water began to shake, and it looked like the world was coming to an end. And they got in the truck, and they drove to Port-au-Prince and began immediately pulling people out of rubble. Immediately rescue people. Why? Because it's built into everybody in this room. It's built into our nature. We will help those that cannot help themselves, because we know when a disaster comes, the people that are in the disaster have no means to help themselves. And so for the most part, unless we suppress it, it's built into our nature to help people. I was at McDonald's getting something to drink, and I was looking, and there was a man holding a homeless sign out there, and he had a sign. I couldn't read what was on his sign, but I watched. In a matter of 3 or 4 minutes, he had a big suitcase thing on the ground right there. In a matter of 3 or 4 minutes, there was 4 or 5 people that went out there with a bag of food to give to him. He just unzipped his bag. I'd like to know how many Big Macs he had shoved down in that bag. Because it's our nature. It's who we are. It's who we were made to be. When the hurricane hit the Bahamas just a few weeks ago, immediately everyone was thinking, how are we going to get help? We got to get help there. little planes were flying out of Key West and immediately carrying food and supplies over to those people. Why? Because it's our nature. There's something foundational in us as a people, unless we override it, that we want to help people in need. It seemed like that's understood everywhere in all different realms, not just in church world. It seems like it's everywhere but in the church. It's everywhere else but in the church, because what we want to create in the church is we have focused. The modern church has lost its way. What we have focused on is making everybody comfortable. So 90%, I'd say close to 90% of the people, if I said if you have a strong need in your life, you need a miracle or you need a healing, stand on your feet. Almost everybody in the church stands up on their feet. Which is, you want to be a hospital. You want to be a place that heals people and gets people healed. I do. I want people comfortable. I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable. But I'm not here to make you comfortable either. Huh? I can't. I just can't do it. We just put new thermostats back there. And these are digital thermostats. And we're able to, you know, whoever has the code can control the thermostats from their seats now. Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. It don't matter what. Because you could be sitting over here and you're talking about, man, it's so hot. Oh, Lord Jesus. Look at Pastor Greg. He's sweating. I'm sweating. It's so hot. Why is this church so hot? And then I got a lady over here sitting over here. It's a man and a woman usually. And a lady sitting over here going, it is so cold in this place. I got a sweater. I'm all covered. Oh, why is it so cold in this church? Ain't no way to make everybody happy. Listen, those thermostats will not deal with hot flashes and hormones. Ain't gonna happen. Hey, listen. We got them. It's in here. We got a group in here. I love when the quartet sings. Man, that quartet. I just love when the quartet sings. And another guy sitting over here going, man, that's Southern gospel, man. Well, why are we singing that? That's like old school. Like, why are we doing that old school stuff? Let the rapper sing. That's a rapper sing. And the rapper comes up, and the rapper raps, and Tim raps a rap, and everybody's going, whoa, man, I love when the rapper sing. Man, that guy got flow. And the people over here going, man, if that dude raps one more time, I'm leaving the church. I hate rap music. Sammy Bonnard hates rap music. He hates it with a passion. He ain't quit yet, though. Because we can't make everybody happy. I can't make everybody comfortable. You see what I'm saying? I got one group of people sitting here. Why in the world? It's 45 minutes already. Most churches are done in 45 minutes. We should be gone. I seem to read in the Bible where it was called the Lord's day, not the Lord's 45 minutes. Come on. I got another group over here going, it's only been 2 hours. Why are we dismissing? Oh, the glory is in the house. Don't shut it. My wife said, there's coming a day when you're not going to be able to stop it. I said, I ain't trying to stop it now, Bobby. She said, I just wanted to go on. You know, it's the truth. We've just made people comfortable. We're not here to put on a show. I didn't wake up this morning and think, what's the cutest outfit I could put on today? Sometimes my wife makes me change 2 or 3 times to find something she wants me to wear. I could care less. I'm not here to convince your unsaved loved ones that they ought to like me. Oh, wait till you come to church. You're going to love Pastor Greg. I don't care if you love me. I don't need you to be my buddy. I got so many friends now, I can't keep, my phone just blows up all the time. I'm not trying to build any more friends. I got friends. I'm not here to put on a show. I'm not here to perform for the unsaved, the people in here, and make you, so you can show them how nice your church is. It's not. I'm here to get you free. I'm here to cast the devil out of your life. I'm here to drive darkness out of your life. I'm here to tell you, stop letting the devil cohabitate with you and drive him out of your house. Drive him out of your streets. Drive him out of your life. Don't let the devil hang around. Whew. We're here to work miracles, pull down strongholds, principalities, and rulers of wickedness in high places. We're not a passive church. If some of you acted on your sport, if some of you acted like you act in church on a sports team at a practice, they'd kick you off the team. They'd be like, that's the way you're going. No. You're just going to sit, fold your arms, do nothing. Come to church, can't even get you to clap your hands. You clap for everything else. You go to a concert, you clap your hands. You go to a baseball game, you clap your hands. Your little kid takes two steps and you're like, woo, look at him. Look at my grandbaby, took two steps and fell down, and you're up on your feet shouting, and you come to the house of God, sit there with your arms folded, you can't say nothing. You can't lift your hands. I'm telling you, that passivity is keeping you locked in bondage. You're sitting there bound up and can't get free, and God says, if you'd open up your mouth, if you'd praise me on Monday like you praise me on Sunday, you could be free. Amen. I'm here to get you free. I'm here to restore marriages. I'm here to deliver the captive, heal the sick, and raise the dead. Some of you would just trip out if I cast the devil out of somebody today. That'd be people get up and leave. My wife came up here, spoke in tongues, and people were actually like, oh God, what is that? Where did you think he was coming? We have a reputation, you know. Huh? If you wanted the cute church, you should have went down the road. If you wanted the quiet church, you should have went down the road that way. There's a quiet church and a cute church. We are not that. We have an assignment over the church to take the territory, to drive the devil out, to possess the land, dispossess the enemy. He is a liar. He is a loser. He is out of here. We're running him out of this town. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm sick of people bringing people to the house of the Lord and sitting there the whole time praying, oh God, I hope it doesn't get crazy in here. Where'd you bring them to? You should have Googled who we were. I hope nobody gets up and speaks in tongues. I won't know how to explain that to my family. Are you serious? You ought to be praying. I pray when church starts today, they open up the side doors, run around the building, shout, declare Jesus is Lord. Sitting around, I hope nobody's offended today. And oh, I hope we're politically correct. And I hope we're tolerant and relevant. Where do you find tolerancy and relevancy in the Bible? Jesus confronted the enemy. John the Baptist stood and declared the ways of the Lord. He said, repent, you generation of vipers. There he is. What'd you come to see, a reed shaking in the wind? He said, I'm the voice of one crying out, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. When you live that way as a church, you want nobody to be offended, make sure we're politically correct. When you end up that way, you end up with a church full of people who are tormented in their spirits. You end up with a church full of people that is just so tormented by the devil, living in bondage, looking real cute, but living in bondage. Jesus said in Matthew 23:27, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs, which appear to be beautiful outwardly, but inside you're full of dead men's bones and uncleanliness. I'm sick of the church going and dancing in the clubs all night long on Saturday and then coming to church and sitting there like a knot on a log. Huh? It ain't right. It ain't right that you can sit in church week after week after week and get in the car and have a fight with your wife before you even leave the parking lot and be cussing in front of the kids in the car. How do we call that the body of Christ? He said, drive the enemy out. Dispossess the enemy. Tear down the strongholds. Tear down the high places. And acknowledge God has got over this life. Sick of people who are so addicted to porn, they're reading porn on their Bible and reading porn on their iPhones and reading the Bible the next morning on their iPhones. Huh? That's messed up. I'm here to say the devil can't have the territory. I'm here just to tell you that the devil cannot have your territory, Jane. He can't have your territory, Bill. You've got a word in your spirit. He can't have your territory. This territory belongs to the Lord. It is not a habitation for the enemy. He can't dwell in there. He can't steal your joy. He can't take from you the things that God has given you. What God has given you is a gift from heaven, and the devil can't have it.
Amen.
He can't have your kids. He can't have them. He can't have your kids. He can't keep that stronghold. We're tearing down the walls of the devil, and we're declared, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Can't have your health. We need to drive the enemy out. We need to take the territory. I know there's a no in the atmosphere, but I got a yes in my spirit. And God's yes is bigger than the devil's no. I'm not asking, can we have revival? I'm telling the devil, revival is coming. Healings are coming. Miracles are happening. Miracles are flowing. People are getting set free. The lost are coming in. The hurting are being healed and restored and made brand new. Whew. Some of you are more committed to the gym than you are the house of the Lord. You go every day to the gym and work out. You do more sit-ups than you do interceding. Just saying. Listen to me. I'm done. I'm trying to be done. Don't come up here and play a sad song because I ain't done yet, but I'm done. The first time Peter preached in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 were added to the church. The next time he preached, 5,000 were added to the church. And then after that, they just started over two dozen times in the New Testament as it relates to the church. They talked about multitudes. I'm happy that one or two are getting saved, but I'm believing God for a barn full. I'm believing God for a barn to be overflowing with souls, that God's going to do something amazing. Listen, our fight is not with our neighbors. These are good people, man. They're good neighbors. They're good people. Everybody that I know that knows them talks about how good they are. Our fight isn't with the neighbors. Our fight isn't with Collier County. It's not with the zoning department. We're fighting the zoning department. No, we're not. We're fighting the principalities and the rulers of wickedness that are trying to hold a city back from the fire of God and from the blessing of God. And we got to put a yes in our spirit. Listen, preachers are not called to be motivational speakers. If you want a motivational speaker, download TED Talks and just listen to them all. We're not called to teach you life skills. We're here to teach you how to take authority and dominion over the devil and say, I'm not cohabitating with you anymore, devil. I've been holding on to this stuff, and it's got to go. You can drive a suicide spirit out. My kids fighting suicide, drive it out. Drive it out. Well, my kids fighting a lesbian spirit or a homosexual spirit. They just announced they came out of the closet. Well, I better drive you into the closet and get on your face before God and say, no, devil, you can't have my kids. You can't. They will not believe the lies of the enemy. And it may take some time, but if you labor on your knees, if you labor in love, God will bring them out. He will set them free in the name of Jesus. All you got to do is get on the bus. Get on the bus. God owns the bus lines, and I'm driving the bus. You can't get on the bus. This is not an Uber. This is not a taxi. You don't get on the bus and say, can we stop at Walmart? No, we ain't stopping at Walmart. The destination has already been written. My house shall be called a house of prayer. The destination has already been written. We exist to host the presence of the Holy Spirit. There are no options. Just get on the bus. Get on the bus. Everybody say, drive the bus, Pastor. Come on, drive the bus, Pastor Greg. I'm driving the bus. I'm not letting you stay in bondage. I'm not letting you stay addicted to alcohol. I'm not letting you have a secret porn addiction. I'm coming after that thing and saying, in the name of Jesus, you got to come free. Okay, come on, Miss Gill. You can't get on the bus and say, take me to the mall. No, the bus ain't going to the mall. I hate shopping. Huh? We exist to host the presence of the Holy Spirit. This bus is taking territory. This bus is taking dominion over the darkness of your life. This bus is saying no to depression, no to anxiety, no to stress. God's waiting for somebody to grab the mantle of revival. There's a mantle of revival that has not been picked up. Come on, it's quiet right now. But there's a mantle. Catherine Kuhlman, you go right down through. You could go Billy Sunday. You could go right down through revivalist after revivalist. Charles Finney. You could go right through Oral Roberts. And you could just keep going. And I'm telling you, somebody's got to rise up and say, we'll be the ones. Somebody's got to hit the bones. Somebody's got to hit the bones of Elijah. Come on, that man, them raiders came in, killed that man, put him down in that pit, but when they hit the bones of Elijah, when they hit the bones of Elijah, he came back out of there alive. I'm telling you, there's a mantle for revival, and God says, why don't you grab it? Why don't you just decree it over your family? Our family is going to be in revival, and when our families get in revival, we'll see a revival that'll sweep over our city. If you believe it, get up on your feet and give God some praise. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit to set a free, to set a man free, to set a woman free. I speak to the principalities and I speak into the air right now. I speak to the no. There's a no that said, don't respond right now. There's a no that says you don't respond to this because you know where he's going. He's going to give an altar call, and you've already did that, and you're not going to get free, so don't do it. My yes is bigger than your no. My yes is bigger than your no. Jesus died and gave his life so that you can be free. 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 Everybody that's being tormented by spirits, come on. If you're being tormented by spirits, if there's a spirit of no over your life, if there's a spirit of no that's just telling you no, you can't be saved, you can't live for Jesus, you can't do this, you'll never make the change. If there's a spirit of no over you, I want you to lift your hands right now. Everybody else put your hands down. But just those that say, there's been a spirit of no. There's been a spirit of no that says you can't be successful, that you're not going to be prosperous. There's been a spirit of no that says you're not going to get the promotion. But I'm here to tell you that is from the pit of hell. God is going to promote you. If you've been hearing a spirit of no, lift your hands. Come on, if you're not living where you know you should be living, lift your hands. If you were to die today, you're not sure you'd go to heaven, lift your hands now and say, God, that's me. It's not an accident that you're here today. This message was sent and delivered for you. I'm going to wait. I'm going to count to 10, and then that's it. Because God says if they're serious, they'll do it. If you're not serious, don't do it. But I'm going to count to 10, and when I get to 10, that's it. All right? And I just want you to lift your hands if that's you. 1, 2, come on, lift them up. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Do it now. 9, 10. Everybody with your hands raised, come forward. Come forward to the altar. Just come quickly. Come. Come and receive. Take an authority over spirits. Take an authority over lies. Take an authority over darkness. Come right now. Come. Come on, everybody that doesn't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, come run to the altar. Come now. Say yes. Come on, lift your hands when you get here and just say yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I give you everything. I hold nothing back. I give you everything. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Pray with me right now. Jesus, I give you my life. Come on, say it with your mouth. I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. I choose to serve you all the days of my life. I say yes to your will and no to the devil. In Jesus' name, I receive freedom from sin, from lies, from demonic spirits. And in Jesus' name, I receive freedom. Freedom. Everybody find a place by the altar and just kneel. Come on, all of you that are here, just get to one of the altars and just kneel down. You can do it right here, wherever. There's plenty of space at the altars. Give me some altar workers to come right now. Everybody get a blue I Have Decided card in your hand. Get a blue I Have Decided card in your hand. Come on, we're going to pray with them. Tormenting spirits and lies of the devil, strongholds to be broken. Dispossess the enemy. Drive out the enemy. Drive out the lies. In Jesus' name. Receive an impartation from heaven. Receive from heaven. Yeah. Yeah. God's will be done. God's bringing his will right now. This is his will. It's not his will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. We receive right now the love of the Father. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ. And right now, as you prayed that prayer, you receive faith. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everybody just slip your hands up to the Lord. Let's just worship for a few minutes. Give them time to pray. Come on, I need some prayer warriors. I need someone to get behind each person, okay? Get a blue card, get behind each person. Everybody just get right behind. One person to one. One person to one. I need more. I need a woman right here. I need a man behind Giovanni. I need a man right here. Come on, I need a woman right here. Touch and agree. Touch and agree. Touch and agree. Come on, touch and agree.